And once again, welcome to another episode of 2 Minutes Dos Minutos. This is episode 11. As always, I'm joined by my co-host Alf and producer Brian. And Alf, take 2 Minutes Dos Minutos and let our listeners know what they're in store for.
Mike, we have something very special for everyone today. We had a lot of people ask us, how did Michael start in this business? When did he know that his voice was special and he could make a living out of it? So a lot of people are asking us, so we're going to talk about the Michael B. experience related to how you started out in this business. That's item number one. Item number two, we're going to talk about Alf's pet peeves.
And, the return of Alf's pet peeves,
yes,
producer
sir.
Brian.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
And if you recall last time, Alfredo, he was really peeved to explaining all of those. I'm sure you've got a few things that
I got three things that are
under
quite
your skin.
Special.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, under my skin. And I'm scratching it right now, you know?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm a little scratchy. Yeah, I'm itchy and I'm scratching.
That's his peeves.
That's
right. And under his skin that he's scratching.
That's right.
All right, well, that sounds like a fun episode. But as always, Alfredo, we have to start with our local team, the Miami Dolphins. And although the win was a couple of weeks ago, I think we need to take a minute and talk about that Philadelphia Eagle game and that win. Where in the world did that come from?
They were totally dominant. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, they didn't know what hit them. I mean, they just kept after them. They just kept scoring, and they feel very comfortable right now. The Dolphins are playing quite well. So I think it's just something that we have to deal with. Mike, in the last five games, they have a winning record. That's the Dolphins.
And, 3-2 in the last five games.
That's right. 3-2. And they have a shot to win more games when you think about the games that are coming forward.
Right, right. Absolutely. They've got a game with Cincinnati coming up in the future. So you're right about that, Alfredo. There are some potential more wins. And right now, the Dolphins are sitting somewhere around the fourth pick, the fifth pick, somewhere in there. And I think we've mentioned it on past podcasts, their quarterback that they had clearly in their target zone, Tua Tagovailoa, he's a question mark now after that injury. So the number of potential quarterbacks out there is smaller. The Dolphins are playing well. I'm as confused today as I was the last time we talked about him on the podcast.
And by the way, Tua is considering not even getting into this draft, which is even worse because of the injury. So he may even go into the next year, the 2021 draft. So yet, like you said, very limited number of quarterbacks. You're winning. So what's going to happen? You're going to have less chances to be on a higher draft pick to pick your franchise quarterback. And that's an issue because if they keep winning, then what's going to happen is they'll be in the middle of the road in terms of picking, and it'll be no different than they were many years before.
It has really been an interesting exercise, and I hope our loyal listeners have enjoyed going on this journey with us every week. You know, when we started the podcast, it was in the beginning of the football season, and we thought we had that roadmap figured out. They were going to lose every game and be terrible and not even be competitive, and they were going to get the first pick, and they were going to take the Alabama quarterback, and that's the way it is. Fast forward now to 11, 12 games later, and they're a below average team, but a competitive team that now I'm not sure they even know what the draft has in store for them.
Yeah, and they believe in what they're doing, and they got a great quarterback. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing well. That's their, their culture right now. You can see it. They're playing with aggression. They're playing with purpose, and with discarded players that other teams didn't want. And I'll tell you this one, Mike. I think what's happening here is that the players and the coaches are thinking different than what the front office was thinking about. They were thinking, well, you know, we traded all our great players, all our best, better players, and now they'll just deal with what we have, and we'll have a draft pick that's really high because we won't win in many games. Well, that's out the window. Now, just think about the Dolphins, right? When they were supposed to win, they lose, and now when they're supposed to lose, they win.
You're right. You're right about that. And I we'll close up this segment with the Dolphins with just one thing, and again, it goes back to the Philadelphia game. What might be the play of the year in the entire National Football League. Now, for our really dire Dolphin and sports fans out there that listen to us, you know that the Dolphins won this award last year when they had the play of the year, the last play of the game, the 4 or 5 laterals. Kenyon Drake scores the touchdown against New England on the last play to beat them. For some reason, they had Rob Gronkowski back there trying to play defense. Rob stumbled over his own feet, and Drake gets in the end zone. The Dolphins win the game, and they get the award for the play of the year in the entire NFL. They may win it again this year for that punter throwing a pass to the kicker.
That was unbelievable.
Touchdown play.
Unbelievable.
Against Philadelphia.
That was fantastic, and it was number one in the top 10 ESPN highlights, and it should be because that was fantastic, and they're coming up with ways to win, and that gives you a classic example. That one play gives you an idea how they're thinking on each play, on each game, to win.
Well, if nothing more, it has been entertaining and fun, and we continue on this ride. They're coming to the end of the season. I think we're talking about maybe 3 games left or so, and based on what we've been through already, I have no idea what to expect, but we're going to figure it out together.
We'll figure it out together. We'll see what happens. And then, Mike, I think in our first item for today, by popular demand, there are people that want to know how you started in this business, you know, and I think we have to go walk down memory lane here, because I think it's more than just your voice. I think we need to ask you, when did you first think that you had something special with in your voice to start this business?
Yeah, I first noticed that my voice was different from most of my friends, and going back,
including me, yes. Including,
well, this is long before you and I met, but this is going back to middle school. And it's a story that goes back to my 6th grade Latin class.
Really?
With a teacher by the name of Mrs. Machado. And I was in Mrs. Machado's Latin class, and she's teaching us how to say the Pledge of Allegiance in Latin, the Fidem Meum Obligo Vexillo Civitatium Americae Foderatam et Rep Publicae Proquastat Uni Nationi, the whole bit.
Oh my.
And so we would recite it every day in class to start the class. And for some reason, I was just able to belt that thing out louder than anybody else. And it would drive Mrs. Machado crazy.
Wow.
And so, as a 6th grade knucklehead, I'd want to do it each and every day. And so, I learned in her class that I could project my voice, not scream over anybody, but just project my voice and make it louder than anyone else. And the other thing, get a reaction. In this case, I got a reaction out of my teacher. But from that point forward, I said, hey, my voice is a little different than everybody else's. And that's when I recognized that it was unique.
That's unbelievable, Mike. And I will tell you one thing. I also think, and think about this for just a minute, only because I knew your dad. So your dad had a booming voice too. And I'm wondering if that was genetics that you also noticed as well.
Yeah, there's no question about it. When people say, where did that voice come from? It's very simple. My voice is a perfect DNA copy of my father's voice. And the one thing that would happen to both he and I, as I was growing up at home, when one of us would answer the phone, and this is going back in the day well before FaceTime, and you had to answer a phone that was plugged into the wall, they would always ask, they'd say, Frank? And it was me. No, this is Michael. Michael? No, this is his dad, Frank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so you really, eyes closed, you would not know if my father or I were the one talking to you right now, because we both sound identical. And for that, I'm so thankful to my dad for everything.
God bless him.
But
God
that
bless.
Voice is one thing that I am so, so honored to have.
So in 6th grade, you kind of notice a difference. So when do you figure out, hey, maybe I should give this a shot outside of just a classroom and do this kind of like as a gig, if you will? What was your first gig, if you will?
So my first gig was in high school. I was a high school basketball player, and I got hurt my junior year. And so that ended a very short-lived career anyway. But I really wanted to give announcing a shot. And so I went to the headmaster of the school and I said, I'd like to announce the boys' basketball games. And he said to me, that's fine. He said, I don't think any other school like ours is doing anything like that. So I'm going to ask that before every game, you do two things. You clear it with the referees and you get the okay from the visiting coach.
Oh, okay.
As long as they always tell you yes, you can announce every game. And so no one ever said no. They always said yes. So I did the public address for the Gulliver Raiders boys basketball team. We were the only school of our size that was doing any kind of PA announcing. And it was, you know, back in the day, you were bringing in some speakers and you had a little setup playing music off of cassette tapes. We're in the same age group. So that's where I kind of got my first gig.
Really?
Was as a high school student announcing the boys basketball team.
At Gulliver Raiders,
yeah.
And after Gulliver, how did you kind of enhance your career in college?
So I graduate from Gulliver and I go to FIU. And so on my application for FIU, there's a section there that says, what is your proudest high school accomplishment? And so I write on the application that I was very proud to be the one who started the only PA announcing of basketball in Class 2A in Dade County. And so I put that on my application. I submitted. I'm accepted to FIU. I'm a student there now. I'm a freshman. And the year that I'm a freshman at FIU is the first year that they have a men's basketball team. They had never had a men's basketball team before.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah.
So I'm there. We're probably within a month of classes starting, and I get a phone call from the sports information director. And he says to me, you know, hi, someone passed your college application along to me. I see where you were a high school basketball announcer.
Hmm.
We are just starting a men's basketball program, and we need all kinds of positions filled, including a public address announcer.
Oh, wow.
Would you be willing to come to an audition? And so I said, sure, I'll be happy to audition for you. So they invited me to come and announce a game, which I did, and I got the job. I got the job as the public address announcer for FIU men's basketball, a job I held throughout my college years, and then thereafter, after I graduated.
That's unbelievable. And then I think the most popular question we've had is, when did you really take a leap of faith to really audition for the Miami Heat public address announcer position? And walk us through that.
So the Miami Heat came to South Florida in 1988. I had been announcing college basketball for 7 years. This is back in the early 80s that I had been doing this. Keep in mind, this is before the University of Miami reconstituted its basketball program.
Yes.
So the only college basketball being played at the time was at FIU. So in 1988, the Miami Heat is established, and I figure this is perfect. I'll send in a resume and a letter of interest and let them know, hey, I am the basketball announcer in town. I'd love to have an opportunity to become your announcer. And got a response from them very quickly in the mail. I was excited. Oh my gosh, they're writing me back already. Thank you for your interest. We currently have someone. Don't call us, we'll call you.
Oh, wow, wow, really?
That was, obviously, I was disappointed with that. And at the time now, the three of us are all working together. We're all at the time, American Bankers, working together. And I'm announcing FIU basketball. And I'm working during the day, announcing college games at night. I really took inventory of, you know, what am I going to do here? Do I want to announce college basketball in front of marginally sized crowds? Really, should I just focus on my professional world at American Bankers? And I had come to the conclusion that I was going to quit announcing.
Wow.
I came to that conclusion. I said, you know what? I'm just going to focus on my business career. There's nowhere for me to go with the announcing thing. The Heat isn't interested. Basketball, college basketball, I'm not really going to do much with that. you know what? I think I'm going to quit announcing.
Wow.
And then...
what happened?
And then the phone rang at my desk at the office where we all work.
Yeah.
And I answer the phone, and on the other end, a male voice says, "Hello, this is so-and-so from the Miami Heat. Our announcer is sick, and we're wondering if you can announce our game tonight."
Wow.
So the first thing I do is think about which one of my friends is on the other end of the line,
yeah,
being
absolutely
a total jerk,
yeah.
trying to play a game with me. But I'm able to vet it, and it actually was the Miami Heat. They needed me to come and announce the game that night against the Seattle Supersonics, a team that doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
They have
Downtown Eddie Brown. And,
they've since become the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I go down, and I announce the game for them, nervous as I can be, scared to death. But I had been announcing. I had been prepared. I had wanted this job. So I was able to get through it with some confidence. And the next day, the Miami Heat called me back and said, "Very happy with your work. Can you be our permanent backup?"
Oh.
So I said, "Of course. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I can be your permanent backup as long as you can give me a little bit of lead time to where, you know, my schedule can fit because sometimes I'm traveling. But yes, consider me your backup."
Oh, really?
And so I did some preseason work for the team. I didn't do any regular season work after they brought me on full-time.
But
at the end of that season, I see a story in the Miami Herald that the gentleman who was the PA announcer, he was also the senior vice president of communications back in the day when a team would first come out. A lot of people would do multiple jobs. Try to keep your expenses down. And so he had to leave Miami to go back to San Diego and take over a family business.
Wow.
And so that opened up the job.
What year was that?
Oh, yeah. That was 1990, the summer of 1991. So we're talking about now going into the 1991-92 season. So I see that he leaves to go to back to San Diego. I contact the organization and say, "Hey, remember me? I'm the backup. Well, what's going on? They said, "Well, we'd like you to re-audition."
Oh, really?
For the job.
You had to re-audition.
"We're going to open it up again."
Oh, wow.
"And re-audition for the job." And so this audition was one of the most unusual things I've ever been through. They said, "We're going to send you a package that'll have all the instructions in it. And we'd like you to just follow the instructions. We're sending this to everybody. And so that will be your audition." So a package shows up. Inside the package is a letter, a cassette tape. Again, you got to be, you know, old like us to know what that is.
Yes.
But wait, I'm going to date myself again. And a VHS.
Oh, my.
Tape.
Oh, my.
Now, for our younger listeners, cassette tapes are what we used to listen to audio on. Those things don't even exist anymore. We now listen to audio on all of our devices. But these were actual tapes that you could record things on and take them and put them in machines. And the VCR, the VHS tape, is what we used to watch movies on. So long before Netflix and Hulu and all these things, you would watch movies on these tape decks where you'd put these cassette tapes in and play them. So the rules or the instructions were as follows. On the videotape is one quarter of a past Miami Heat game. We'd like you to take the cassette tape and tape yourself announcing the game while you're watching it on the cassette.
Oh, wow.
On the video.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay. I can do that. So I made sure to watch the video about 100 times before I ever got in front of a microphone. So I knew every play and who was going to score and who was going to commit a foul. And so, as good fortune would have, American Bankers Insurance Group was very generous to me. They let me use their recording facilities. And really? You remember the recording facilities there.
Yes.
Professional,
yes.
Top-notch stuff.
Yes, yes.
And they were excited for me and wanted to help me as best they could. And so they said, come on in. We'll let you use the studio. They showed me how to manipulate the machine and all. And so I went in that studio, put that tape in, put in the recording tape, and recorded myself announcing the game while I'm watching it on the playback.
Wow.
Sent the cassette tape in. About 2 weeks later, get a phone call from the Miami Heat saying, we'd like to offer you the full-time job. And that was 29 years ago.
And counting.
Now over 1,300 Miami Heat games announced, which include 15 home NBA Finals games that I've announced, culminating for me in the good fortune of 3 championship rings.
That's unbelievable, Mike. An unbelievable story. I really do appreciate it. And with that said, we're going to take a break, and then we'll return with Alf's pet peeves.
And welcome back to 2 Minutes Dos Minutos. Again, thank you so much for listening. We're on episode 11 and getting ready to enjoy one of the segments. We've had it once before. It was a big hit. So it's back again by popular demand. Alf's pet peeves. And Alf, you got some things that make you upset. And
they
you
do.
Gotta get it off your chest. And, the stage is yours.
Mike, as you know, I'm retired and I spend time on the car, you know, shopping and doing things around the house,
yep,
and so forth.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to finish up the road ones right now. Okay. But there's two things that really bother me. Number one is, why is there still construction going on the roads out there? What is going on?
Yeah.
They're never done. And then I don't know if you remember going north on the turnpike in 874, right? Going to, they switched it up. When did that happen?
Right. So now if you were on the left, now you got to be on the right.
Right.
And then one day, the next thing you know, you are in some part of Miami that you don't want to be in at
that's
all,
right,
because you got on the wrong road.
I did that 3 times. I said, how did I end up in this road?
You did that 3 times.
Why did they do that? Why do they have to do that? Why do they have to confuse us and switch it entirely? I've been doing it over 30 years one way. Why do they have to do it the other way now?
Yes, that's definitely a get off my lawn old man thing right there.
And they're always closing roads between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. What's going on there?
Well, wait a minute. Are you driving between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m.?
Well, no, I'm just like, you know, noticing. Now I wake up at 5 o'clock and look, hey, are they really closed or are they open? I mean, you know, they're diverting traffic. What's going on?
Well, I guess the best time to do the construction is at night while most of us are sleeping. I can only imagine what pet peeve you'd have if they were doing the construction between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah, that will even be worse. I guess that's the least of the devils of the situation. and speaking of construction, when they're done with construction, the one thing I remember, 826, the Palmetto.
Nightmare.
Yeah,
awful.
Nightmare. So they closed it up and they opened up lanes, right? Right. So,
right. The speed lanes, the toll lanes.
Now
whatever
they're tolls. Now people have to pay for those extra lanes that they added.
And the
now
VIP lanes, we like to call.
Yeah, VIP lanes. But they're going fast and you're going slow. On why did they do that anyway? It used to be free. Now we have to pay for our roads now on 826. Really?
If you want the VIP, you got to pay for the VIP. $1 or $1.50.
Oh, my
guess is you're not paying that.
No, I'm not going to pay. I'm going to be in line with everybody else.
Yeah, you know you're going to be in line, frustrated, looking at the people to your left saying, why are those people get to go? Because they paid $1.50.
I know, but they did all that construction to expand the roads, more lanes, so it can remove congestion. And what they do, oh, yeah, we'll remove congestion, but you have to pay for it.
That's right. They want to make money out of it so that they can build revenue.
So,
listen,
yeah,
don't be so cheap. Pay the dollar and then won't be a pet peeve.
I'm retired. I'm,
you got to watch your money.
Yeah, I mean, what's going
it's
on?
It's on a fixed income now.
All right, well, here's another thing.
There's more.
There's more. I'm going to switch.
His face is getting redder and redder.
Everybody,
so you know.
Now I'm going to do grocery shopping.
Oh, boy. Grocery shopping pet peeves.
Oh, there are two things that drive me nuts.
Oh, boy.
Drive me nuts. And it always happens. I don't know why it happens to me. But, you know, I don't really buy that many items. I buy like 10 items or less usually all the time. So I go into the
Express lane,
which says very clearly
$1.50.
Yeah, no. It doesn't cost $1.50.
It costs you more than $1.50 for you to go through it with your 10 things, but I hear what you're saying.
And I don't know if people notice this, but
that's next, by the way. anyway,
yeah.
Publix is going to start charging a surcharge to go through the short line.
Oh, my.
You watch.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I digress.
Yeah. Well, they have to do construction before they do that, right?
okay.
All right.
So,
but anyway,
you're in the express lane with your 10 items, minding your business.
And by the way, when I say 10 items, they're literally 10 items or less. I mean, it's not like, more.
Right.
I count.
Well, that's the rule.
I don't know if you do that.
You got to have 10.
But, and there's people now, and it's happened to me 3 times.
You know that bag of oranges is counted as...
Well, that's the thing. We'll talk about that. If one bag of oranges, let's say 5, is it one bag or is it count as 5 oranges? That's another question. But anyway, there's violators out there.
Violators.
Express of the
Express lane violators.
I'll give you a class. It's happened to me 3 times already, and it's driving me bananas.
All
okay?
right. All right.
One lady with, those carts that have, it looks like a car? It looks like a NASCAR.
Yes.
And the kids is in there?
Yes.
Well, the lady has 100 items in there.
Well, she can't be in the express lane.
And she's in the express lane because she's so busy. She's on the phone. She has the kids. She has to putting the items on. And by the way, the rule in Publix, for instance, and I don't know if this is a real Publix rule, but I think the cashier, once they put up one item on the conveyor belt, they have to accept that customer, even though they have 100 items.
No, that can't be true.
Oh, yeah. So the lady told me, I'm sorry. I have to accept it. Once she puts up one item, I have to take it.
That's like when you're playing a game of chess. You take your hand off the piece. That's it. The move counts.
Yeah.
So that's it. The grocery counts when you put it on them.
It drives me bananas. And that has happened. And the lady's just still minding her business. And you can't be rude because she has a kid, and you can't say, hey, you can't be in this lane. I have a problem with that because they should be saying that, the Publix people, not me. I'm only a customer. Another thing.
Oh.
When you have 2 people with 20 or more items. So in other words, they separate 10 and then they put the rest
They're gaming the system.
Yes. They're cheating the system.
Yeah.
So one person has 10 or 11 and the other one has 10 or 11. Oh, yeah, we're separate. So they come to me. I'm right after them and I say, well, no, we're separate, So they do use the same card anyway, but since they have 2 people, they say, well, it's 10 here and 10 over there. That, you see, that's like cheating the system, and that's not right.
Well,
I don't do that with my wife.
Let me ask you this. This all happened at the same Publix?
It happens in all the Publixes.
Okay, I was going
to
say.
I go to Hialeah one, Sabor one, the Latin ones.
Oh,
you know?
Sabor, yeah.
Sabor, and then I go to the normal one, and it happens everywhere, But it just drives me nuts, Mike. That's not right, The second thing of groceries, okay, check this out. They're the coupon bandits. Watch out for them. The coupon bandits.
Those are the bandits.
They're the ones that buy 100 of the deodorant or washing clothes, Pyrex,
detergent, whatever
it is, and they have coupons for every one of them, and they just keep they keep marking that item, and they don't pay anything for their bill. They just have a bunch of coupons. They drive me nuts. It's forever. So they.
I've seen this on television before.
No, this is going on right now.
I've never seen this happen.
It is South Florida. It's happening in every Publix. You go there. Maybe it's off hours. Maybe because I'm doing it during off hours.
I don't know. Are you driving between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. when the roads are all closed because we're under construction? And
it's during the day while you're working, where everybody's working.
Okay.
But the coupon bandits go in there and they load up their carts with items. And I don't notice it, And I do notice these detergents. Usually it's a detergent. You're right. And there's 100 detergents. And then they get it for free, a bunch of coupons. The lady's there for 5 hours just, scanning the item and scanning coupons. The coupon bandits got me going crazy.
So have you ever been trapped in a line behind a coupon bandit? And
yes.
What happens when that, do you get out of the line and go find somewhere else?
Well, the thing is, you're stuck because, there's not many lines during the day, So either you go to this one, but if you have more than 10, then you're stuck on there's only one express and one regular lane. So I'm on the regular lane, so I can't go to the
express
because I have more than 10 items, so that's where I'm stuck.
Wow, you got a big grocery problem.
I'm itching right now. I'm getting nervous right now.
Breaking
out in hives, thinking about this stuff. But those are my pet peeves of the day.
All right. Well, listen, Alfredo, at least you got them off your chest. All of our listeners out there, let us know what your pet peeves are. Do you share some of these same pet peeves with Alfredo? Do you have some of your own? We'd love to hear from you. Hey, get involved with us. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram. You know that we're at DoseMinPodcast. You can also comment back to us through Anchor. If you're listening to our podcast on Anchor, you can send us a verbal message, a recorded message. Let us know what your pet peeves are. Send me a DM at the Voice MB, at Dosman Podcast. Check out DosmanPodcast.com. It's great to have you all as listeners. This has been a wonderful experience for us. We're coming up to the next set of holidays, and we're really excited about it. And we look forward to an upcoming podcast. We've got some really special guests in store and some episodes that we know you really enjoy. And so we just want to say thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode of 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos.